When it's time for your next real estate transaction, look to Helping the People for an innovative and socially conscious way to buy or sell a home. You'll be matched with a preferred realtor to lead you through the transaction professionally and efficiently. Plus, 25% of the commission is donated to support our veterans program. And that provides veterans with bathroom remodels for their service-connected injuries. So, you're looking to buy a home? Or it's time to sell yours? Give them a call at 833-694-6636 or visit helpingthepeople.org.
Welcome to a special presentation of Everything Home, the transformational show where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. This is our Wednesday signature segment, Nin's Navigation, with our expert contributor, Nin Rafat. Every month, Nin will choose a different topic, and each week she'll give you specific steps, content, questions, homework, downloads, documents, etc., to help you navigate life's highway and make your life more amazing. If you're committed to living a life of amplified aliveness in the year 2019 and beyond, which is right around the corner, then finally break through whatever is holding you back so you can make more money and more of an impact. Tune in every Wednesday throughout November and let Nin help you find your passion and expand your vision beyond what you think is possible, and then create the success blueprint for making it happen. Nin's Navigation is not just a show, but a soulful compass that will empower you to attract abundance of wealth, love, wisdom, success, and contentment in your life. Nin's Navigation, connect with yourself before you connect with others. We look forward to you joining us on this journey. Enjoy the show. Welcome to a special presentation of Everything Home, the transformational show where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. We're a resource, platform, and community that shares stories, lets passions be heard, and showcases good people doing good business and good things. I want everyone to remember that all of our guests and expert information and their shows are listed on our website, which is everythinghometalkshow.com. And for our loyal listeners, you notice that there's a little change there. I won't go into detail. I will elaborate that December, but just keep in mind, the website is everythinghometalkshow.com. I encourage you to check it out and start to begin using it as a resource to meet, hire, and learn from good people doing good business and good things like our guest today. You can also listen and subscribe to the Everything Home Show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and Player FM. This is our Wednesday signature segment. Oh, I did it again like last week. Last week when I had my little S problem like Cindy Brady. This is our Wednesday signature segment, Nin's Navigation. She is our expert contributor, Nin Rafat. And we decided to put together this amazing series for people. November is Find Your Passion Month. Nin is a very exceptionally talented and passionate business and leadership consultant and coach. Her company is Nin's Dreams. She takes somebody from either a startup or an existing company and takes them to the next level. Really, it's a one-stop business solutions company with a different strategy behind it. She's got almost 30 years of experience on the corporate side, which she still does the corporate world. So that's a great blend of having that corporate plus personal plus small business. It's almost like a blend. It's like a hybrid. So you get the best of all the worlds that you need. And she really works with you on a different level where it's not only business consulting, it's coaching, because there is such a huge component when you are a small business owner or an entrepreneur that the business is your life. And there's also, which obviously we talk about on the show, there needs to be a balance between what goes on in your personal life and your business, because you still have to make sure that you take care of yourselves. And Nin takes care of that too. So anyway, November is Find Your Passion. And what Nin has done is she has structured each week, she is delivering portions of this entire package for November and has broken it down. So as long as you follow along, listen to the shows, and you can even download the documents that she's put together, they're PDFs that are on the website, But what we did is we put them all into a nice little Dropbox deal. So we put the link on the website. And if you click on that, you could download the documents for the whole series. You could follow along. You could do homework. It's all, everything's on demand, so you can do it at your own pace. And if you go to the website, which is everythinghometalkshow.com, I put everything on the homepage. So there's a big banner. Look for NINS navigation banner. It'll have each week. It gives a breakdown of each show. But on the banner, there's a nice big link that'll have the documents. So you can go in there. It goes to NINS navigation page where it gives you a whole write-up about who NINS is and what she does. Her website link is on there too if you want to learn more. She said if there's anybody that has any obstacles, issues, or questions during this process, her phone number's there. You can email her, but her phone number is listed all over the place. Once you go onto our website, feel free to reach out to her if you are going through this process and you have some questions, there's some obstacles, whatever it is. She's there to help you out because we want really to make this a transformational period for people. It's the end of the year. This is the Thanksgiving, the thankful month. And we're going to get you prepared for those of you who want to participate and who are ready to get your life in a different position, your business in a different position for 2019 and beyond. We covered what we're doing. We covered what the show is for the month. We directed you so you know you have your documents. So what's next? Today's show. Today's show is being thankful, NINS story. NINS actually going to get a little bit more personal for those of you who've listened so far. She's shared a lot of personal stories, which that's what I'm telling you. That's why it makes her such a great coach and consultant to work with, because you do get that authenticity. But today we're going to share a little bit more. We're going to talk about being thankful. There's two documents that are for today's show. It's a weekly gratitude planner and a being thankful, build your gratitude list and some goals for the future. So again, go to the website, everythinghometalkshow.com. Go to the NINS navigation banner, click and check out those documents so that you can follow along and be prepared and get through phase three. This is the third week of our show. So before we begin and we get into the mood of being thankful, this is going to be a little emotional, so you might want to grab a tissue. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe is everybody a time to reflect on some things that they want to be thankful to since Thanksgiving is tomorrow. So first, I want everyone to take our group deep breath. We're going to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. We're going to forget about the chaos of the day. We're going to forget about the Thanksgiving planning. We're going to think we are going to just block out whatever that conversation dinner is going to be about. I can only imagine some of these families how that is not going to go over well. At least I know that the family that I have left, they're all on the same page. So we don't have to worry about those discussions. But to all of those that have to extend patience, my thoughts and prayers are with all of you. So quick little joke so we can get started today. Why did the turkey cross the road? He wasn't a chicken. And one more. Why isn't the turkey hungry at Thanksgiving? Because he's already stuffed. And our little chuckle in the background is our expert contributor, Nin Rafat. She is a business and leadership consultant and coach and owner of Nin's Dreams and the star of our show today. Nin, because of everything that you've contributed so far, you get a round of applause today. So how are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you so much. And I am really looking forward to talk to my friends on Thanksgiving. This is like a very special occasion. Although, you know, I keep telling people we should be in gratitude. We should be thankful every day. But then, you know, on Thanksgiving, it's like everybody is in that mood. So let's make sure that we do it.
There's one day a year that we can all get on the same page, even if it's for 20 minutes. Well, right on. At least that there is there's hope for 20 minutes a year that everybody's on the same page.
Yes.
So let's take advantage of it. And then as long as everybody's stuffing their mouths, nobody's talking. So I think that's probably part of the reason why you have that little small window is that everybody is at least shoving food into their mouth. So then they're not necessarily sharing what they might not need to be sharing. So you're welcome to, if you want to do a recap of last week or you want to do something a little bit about the series in general. But other than that, I'm going to let you take it from here.
So, my friends, we have been in this journey together for 2 weeks now. We started with a detailed analysis of dream, and then we discovered the why we should be working, what should be the passion of our life, how to tap into our potential. Those were the things that we were discussing in the past two episodes. But today, I want to shift the whole discussion around something which we usually take for granted. We, deep inside, we know that we have to be grateful for all those things, but somehow we don't do it. And it is very important, but then life happens and you realize that whatever you have been taking for granted, whether it's relationships, it's resources, it's your country, your people, anything, those things really matter. And they were to be valued rather than to be taken for granted. So for better or for worse, you are here. We all are here in this stage of life. Will we stay unfulfilled or unhappy or hustle more? That's up to us. Our life needs a shift. It's a choice that we have to make. And the reason I'm saying this is because of my own personal life, the story that I would like to share. It's a way of giving thanks, showing gratitude to all of you, all of my friends, all of my family, and any person who in his or her capacity have contributed in bringing me to this level. So that's a way of saying thanks to them. Just to begin with, I was born in a Muslim family, the only girl child. I have three brothers. A very pampered kid, because I was the only girl child. I was my father's blue-eyed kid. He would do anything for me, and he was like more like a mentor for me because he was a very literate man. He taught me different things about life, his approach towards life, and how to handle people, how to manage different opinions people have. So, you know, in a nutshell, I was living the best life any human or any girl would imagine. I was my dad's little princess. I lost him in 1996. And then after 3 years, I was married to a Muslim man. Apparently, the wedding was like we have in our culture. It's always like the wedding, you know, like princess wedding that you see is like all dance and food and you name it. So it's like a very happening event. So my family made every possible attempt to make sure that the wedding is done with, you know, all that glamour associated with it. And I got married. After a few days, things started taking a complete different angle, a complete different perspective about everything. And that was when I started knowing the people, the new family. So my ex-husband and his family, they thought that I am a person, I'm kind of an outcast because I'm an educated woman. I was working and they thought that, you know, these are not the attributes a woman should have. And because of my, you know, financial independence, because I was working and I was earning my own money, so they thought that, you know, I will not be a good mother, a good wife, a good daughter-in-law, sister-in-law, whatever. So all those emotions, all the feelings, all their thoughts started surfacing. and the marriage became difficult. I was judged for everything I would say or I would do. I was, when I got pregnant for my first son, I was asked that, you know, because I'm a diabetic by birth, so they were like, oh, you know, will the baby be healthy? Will the baby survive? Or, you know, can I actually conceive a baby? That was also a question. So I lived through all those moments, and my first son was delivered. I still remember that I was not allowed to feed my baby, my son, because they said that if he, you know, if I feed him, the baby will become diabetic. My doctors and everybody started helping them to understand that this is not what is going to happen, but they had their own beliefs, own understandings, and so I used to hide and, you know, feed my son. Then life was happening. I was just into that relationship. I was in that marriage. The marriage lasted for 12 years, and it was really painful. The question here is that now I'm saying all this, and trust me, I question myself that why on earth was I even tolerating all this? But then the answer is that I was in denial. And I was in denial that something like this is happening to me. I was hoping against the hope that someday this man would understand that whatever he's doing, the emotional torture and the physical abuse, the mental, physical abuse that he is extending towards me is not right, is not appropriate, and he will understand this. But it wasn't happening, and I let him degrade me, disgrace me. I gave him an open field to play. What I want all of you to think at this point is that whatever happens in your life, at least I feel that 99% of the time, you are responsible for it because you let it happen to you. Because that's the choice you make. That's the choice you make, because it was me who was staying in that relationship. I wasn't stepping up. I was hoping against hope. I was in state of denial. I had the fear that what if I leave this, I mean, I step out of this marriage, my cultural norms would not accept me. I will have difficulty in living my own life. Maybe I will not be able to give the luxuries to my two sons. And so all that self-doubt, that fear, that state of denial, everything made me choose to stay in misery. And so that abusive relationship lasted for 12 years, trust me. I am completely responsible for it. The mental torture that I went through, I was the person who had taken the choice to stay in that relationship. So I cannot blame anybody. What I want all of you to consider here is that if something is happening bad to you, you have to step out of the victim mindset, that people are, you know, people are doing this, I'm the one, I'm hurt, I'm helpless. You know, don't get into that state. Don't get into that victim state, because that is going to take you nowhere. You have to step up, believe in yourself, and, you know, get out of that victim mindset and become a warrior. Step up. Fight for your right. Do what is right thing to do. Your life doesn't have to stay in shit. Your life doesn't have to stay hard. Your life doesn't have to stay difficult. Your life doesn't have to stay painful. You can do something about it, but you can't do that something if you keep complaining that that person is doing, or that, you know, that office is doing, that friend is doing, that partner is doing. No, you can't. You can't step out of it. Anyways, getting back to my life. One fine morning, me and my two sons were asked to leave the house, and we were, because he was in relationship with some other woman, and then he wanted to get married to her. So me and my sons were asked to leave the house, and we were allowed to only pick essentials. And I really don't know, at that point, I didn't know what is the definition of essential, because, I mean, I was living in that house for 12, 13 years, and all of a sudden, one fine morning, if somebody says that you just have 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 15 minutes and standing on my head and asking me to pick up the essentials, what would I pick? I really don't know. I really didn't know. So my elder son, he picked up his school bag, and he said that, you know, because for him, that was his essential. My little one, who was just 4 years of age, he went to his dad and he said, can I take my PlayStation? Because for him, that was essential. The answer was no. And I was just running around, you know, in the closets just to post a few clothes and in that whole thing, I left all my documents in the house, and we three just walked out of the house. I still remember my ex-husband asking my elder son, who was 12, that do you still want to go with your mom or stay with your dad? Because if you go with your mom, you will be begging on the streets. And he is a fully rich man, so he said, you will be deprived of all these luxuries and, you know, all this pomp and show, whatever he had. My 12-year-old son said that, you know, I want to go with my mom, and he stood for with his decision, and he just walked with me. So the three of us, we sat in a car. My driver drove the car on the streets of Karachi, Pakistan, and I was just thinking where to go. I mean, I was like completely shocked for whatever has happened on that Sunday morning. But after a while, my driver asked me, where do we want to go? And I was like, okay. Then I recalled, I mean, I was so shocked that I didn't even realize that I have a family house where I could go. But then, you know, when the driver asked me again and again, I was like, okay, now I have the answer. So we went to that family house, which was closed for more than a decade. And, you know, so we just got in there. The sofas were all dusted. And the whole setting reminded me of the happy days that I have lived there with my dad. You know, the happy times, the laughter, as I walked into his study and I saw his table, his books and everything. But at that point, all this meant nothing, because I was looking at my kids and I was like, oh my God, now what? And the day passed. The very next day, I called my office. I work for a multinational, one of the 500 Fortune companies of U.S., and I was working in their Pakistan office. I called my boss, who was in India that time, and I told him that this has happened, and I don't know what to do. And he said, don't worry. You know, you take your time. Let us know what you need, what you and your kids need to be safe, and let's work things out from here. And after a couple of days, I started going to my office, still trying to figure out how things will happen, but I was still going to the office. My kids started going to school, and I thought that life is normal. Okay, this has happened. But that wasn't the end. It was actually a beginning of a bigger struggle, more painful. And that was when I got this letter from the court, the Islamic court, the Sharia law court, that, you know, for the custody of my son. And it read that, you know, I can't have the custody of my son, because as per the Sharia law or the Islamic law, a woman cannot have the custody of the boys, because boys have to be with the father because of the family name and the inheritance and all that stuff. So a mother cannot have the custody of the sons. And to explain it more, the sons can live with the mother with the consent of the father, but mother cannot be the guardian. I mean, she has to take permission for everything, every small thing about the kids if they are sons. So the court hearing started, and I was called in the court many a times. I would go there, I would stand in that courtroom full of men, and, you know, they have all weird questions to ask me. They would do my character assassination, why I'm working, why I'm earning so much, how can I send my sons to one of the best schools in Pakistan, how I'm doing all this. And they were completely in denial that a woman can, you know, earn and work, and she can take care of herself and her kids also. I was answering them endlessly. I was facing that trauma endlessly. And one day I was so tired that in one of the court hearings, I went to my ex-husband and I said that, listen, I feel that you are not a man who is against, or you have some kind of jealousy or enmity towards me. Your problem is men chauvinism. You have a problem with women in general. And the reason I'm saying this is because I am a woman. I'm a mother. I work. I can take care of my sons. So why? And you're already married, and his new wife was pregnant too. So I told him that, why on earth are you making her life miserable? She deserves to be happy because she married you. You fell in love with her or whatever, and then you guys got married. She deserves happiness. Why do you want to impose someone else's kids on her when that someone else is ready to take care of her kids? When the kids don't want to come to you, they want to be with their mom. So, I mean, it's not making sense. It doesn't make any logic to me. But as you can see, like, whatever I've been sharing with you till now, logic was not logical for that man. So he wouldn't listen, and the Sharia court kept calling me, and it was an endless story. I sat back and I accepted my failure. Please pay attention to the words that I'm using here. I accepted my failure. I accepted that I will never, ever be able to win this custody, win this case. My kids will go through the mental torture, the trauma. I will be facing all these allegations and or everything in the courtroom. It will be an endless story. Nothing will end. I accepted it. So my friends, if at any point in life you fail, again I'm repeating, don't be in denial. See, the first mistake that I made in my life was to remain in the state of denial, to be in fear and self-doubt. I chose to stay in misery, and that ruined my life. But this time, I said I will do things in a different way. And that different way was, the first thing that I did is accepted my failure, that this is not going to happen. Now what? Once you accept the failure, then you cannot live your life like that forever, right? So you make that decision. You take that step to get up and do something about it. Take an alternate route. And that's what I did. I said, okay, I went to my office. I called my boss and I told him that, this is what it is. These are the facts. And if I stay in Pakistan, my kids, they may end up going to their father without their consent. Or if not, even if they don't and they continue to stay with me, their life will be a hell. And mine too. So my boss said, okay, so what is your recommendation? What do you want? What do you think? What is the solution that you are thinking of? And I said, I think I should move out of Pakistan. And we have we have 32 offices around the world. So I took the decision of going to Dubai, which was closer to Pakistan. And I said, there will be less cultural difference. The boys will adjust, et cetera, et cetera. So I made a whole list of the reasons that I should opt for Dubai, and I said, let's go there. My office made all the arrangements, and I took my sons with me to Dubai on a visit visa. We left Dubai, we left Karachi, we went to Dubai, and when we reached Dubai, then I applied for my work visa. I got my work visa. But then when it was time for my kids to get their residence visa, when it was time for my kids to get admissions in the school, it was denied. Because what I forgot in the whole process is that Dubai is also an Islamic country and they also follow the Sharia. So for them, it was like, okay, you are a single mom, you'll stay in Dubai, you'll work, and you'll have your sons with you, question mark. You don't have a consent letter from their father that the sons can stay with you. It's not happening. And while I was trying to do their admissions in the schools, one of the school administration person told me that, are you sure you are going to every school and telling the truth? Because you can go behind the bars because of this. Because you are a Muslim mother and you are having your two sons with you. This is something very dangerous that you are doing. I came home scared, worried, and the first thing I did was I booked the tickets and I took my sons back to Pakistan. I went to their school, started sending them. They were in Dubai and they were denied to go to school, so they were staying home for 3 months. 3 months, my kids never went to school. So I had to take them back to Pakistan. I sent them. I went to their school and, you know, like told them the whole story. And I said, the boys are going to start school again here till I figure out what to do. Now, the problem was that because I had taken a relocation to Dubai, I couldn't come back to Pakistan so easily because obviously the office had already done so much for me. It wasn't a joke to just, you know, like keep switching. So my sons were staying back in Pakistan all on their own with domestic support, like the maids and the driver. And I was in Dubai working. And I would fly after every 15 days on a weekend to meet my kids and then fly back to Dubai for my work. So I did this for 3 months. And I realized that this is not making sense. I mean, my kids are away, I'm here, things are not resolved. I really don't know what to do. And I was heartbroken. I was shattered. And at the same time, I knew that something good will happen, but I didn't know when and how. And that's the time when I spoke to one of my friends, and he's my soulmate, my friend, more than 30 years of friendship we have. So he lives in Connecticut. So I called him and I told him he knew what was happening. And, you know, so finally I told him, I really don't know what to do. So I think I should come to U.S. because my office headquarters is in U.S. I think now I should take the decision and I come to U.S. So he said, okay, but what is stopping you? I said, again, the same thing, because I don't have the custody letter for my son. And, you know, when I go to apply for a visa, they will ask the same question because, you know, it may not be the requirement of the U.S. government, but U.S. immigration, sorry, but it is the requirement, the prerequisite for Pakistani citizens, right? So maybe, you know, they will not give the visa because of incomplete documentation. I kept on saying everything I knew about the immigration, about the documents, about everything, all the legal terms, and there was complete silence on the other side of the phone. And, you know, when I finished, all he said was, what if they give you the visa? And I don't know what made him say that, but those were his exact words. What if they give you the visa? And I didn't have an answer. You know, for me to finish that night in Dubai was so difficult. I said, I have to go back to Pakistan and take my sons to the embassy and get the visas right away. I had U.S. visa because I was traveling all the time. I said, I have to get this done. I applied for the visa. My little one was not called for the interview because he was too young, and my 12-year-old was called for an interview. When we went to the visa window, the lady there, she said that, you know, have the kids traveled with you before? I said yes, and then she had some, you know, like small talk with my son, and then she says, collect your visas in an hour, please. And she didn't even ask about the document that I was worrying about. And again, I request you to take a pause here and see that, you know, you have to take risk in your life. You have to take the step. I mean, everything worst possible was happening with me, right? What would have happened if I wouldn't have, if she would have said no for me for visas, right? Because I was expecting a no anyways, so life would have been still the same. But I took that step. And why I took that step? Because I had someone who believed in me more than myself, and that was my friend. Because he said that, you know, what if they give you visa? And these words just kept on ringing in my mind again and again and again and again, and they were so powerful that I started manifesting that I got the visas and my kid, we are out of that place. When we got the visas, we never wanted to stay there for long, so we just took flight. We had to book a flight to Dubai because we never wanted anybody to know. We just left the house. Not even the maids or the servants were informed about it. The next morning, I asked my younger brother and my friend to pay off their salaries and all when they come to for their job at my place. But nobody knew that we are leaving. We left Pakistan overnight with just 3 bags and 3 backpacks. And 3 bags were like our clothes, few family photographs of my dad, and that's about it. And, you know, the backpacks, that's it. We landed here, the day we landed here was 8th May, Mother's Day, and, you know, I was like smiling. I said, oh my God, I got my kids here. So we got into U.S., we stayed with our friend for a week, and then we found a little apartment here in Connecticut, West Haven, by the beach. The boys came here, I started looking around for schools and everything, and I just felt so good about everything that was happening. And after a little while, after a few days, what happened is that because I've been going through so much of mental and physical torture for last so many years, the moment I felt peaceful, I ended up in Yale Hospital, right? And that's funny because, you know, people say that when you are at peace, you are healthy. But with me, it happened the other way around, because when I was in stress, I was just running around to do things. And when I felt peaceful or safe, I just ended up, because my body took a little, you know, rest. And when I ended up at Yale Hospital, my heart, left side of my heart was 60% damaged. So the doctor said that they have to do a surgery and there's no other option. So I had this pacemaker surgery done and all that stuff. The day I was going for my surgery, I still remember that I was on the stretcher at the door of the operation theater when I looked at my friend and my elder son smiling at me. And my son said that I got admission in West Haven High School. That was such a relief for me. That was a winning moment. I said, even if I die today, I have no regrets, because now my kids are going to school. They are in safe place, safe hands. There are people who are going to take care of them. And, you know, I was like at complete peace. I had my surgery. I got back home. And then I got into that phase that, oh my God, what if I would have died? I would have left this world without thanking, without giving back to this community. to this nation, to this country, who helped me, who gave my kids a safe place. And that started bothering me. I reached out to my friend and I told him that, you know, what do I do? How do I, you know, pay back to this community? And he said, you have so much of experience in your business and you have been doing so much of volunteer work around women empowerment and, you know, helping people to grow businesses. Your friends come to you for advices. Even you are a global marketing strategist at your company. So why don't you use that and, you know, try to help people in some way or the other around those lines? I said, well, fair enough. We'll do that. And I just walked to West Haven Chamber of Commerce and I told them that, you know, I want to do something for women entrepreneurs. Is there anything I can do voluntarily? And they were like, okay, can we have your resume? When they saw my resume, I said, oh my God, you have so much of experience. Yes, you can do. And we want you to have monthly business counseling session for our members, for women entrepreneurs or the women who want to start the business. And I feel so good. I started going there and then after, you know, like started working with the women, started helping them with their businesses. And finally, you know, I opened up my company with my friend Nin's Dream. The name of the company, Nin, is what my father used to call me. Dreams is like, it's my dream to make other people's dream come true. So that's how the company name came up. And so the company name is, again, out of passion, right? It represents the passion. Now, the whole story, the reason I took the risk of coming and sharing this with all of you is to make you people understand that don't take anything for granted. Be thankful for all that you have. Be thankful for your parents who are there. I know as teenagers or even when we are like old enough, we start thinking that, you know, they don't know anything, but they are blessings. We have to be thankful to them for whatever they have done because there are so many lessons that I had learned from my father that still gives me energy to keep moving. His lessons of integrity, of being loyal and honest and committed and giving back to the world. These are all the lessons that I learned from him, and now I'm living by them. And I'm like standing up as a role model for my boys. I want my boys to be gentlemen in the real sense. They should value the diversity of thoughts, of opinions, of people. They should respect women. They should not feel that because they are men, they are better and they have the liberty to do anything. So we have to, on this Thanksgiving, just take my story as a background or as a reference or as an example and see that there are so many people, this is my story, there are so many people in this world who didn't have the chance to even come and share their stories or don't have the courage to do that. And there is so much pain and so much of misery around the world. People are being killed in the name of honor, in the name of faith, and you name it. So if you are living in a safe place, if you have freedom, value that. Be thankful for everything. Just not when it comes to when it comes to gratitude, when it comes to being thankful, we usually say that, okay, it's about money. It's about status. No, it's not about money. It's not about status. That is something. Yes, you have to be thankful for that. But at the same time, you have to be thankful for so many things. Your health. You have to be thankful for your friends. You have to be thankful for people who believe in you when you don't believe in yourself. You have to be thankful for people who show up you never thought would do that. In my story, my bosses, in my story, West Haven Chamber, the doctors who were ready to do my surgery, even when they knew that, you know, I didn't have health insurance that time, they said, you know, it's important that she has her surgery done, then we'll sort it out. So there are so many things that happen to you every day. In my story, the place that I live now, my apartment, the dog that I have in my life, little Oscar, these are all the things, the people, the living beings that I should be thankful for. And if you look within yourself, you will see that equally you have so many things that you should be thankful for. So on this Thanksgiving, just make a commitment to yourself that no matter what happens in life, you will always be thankful and not take anything for granted. And at the same time, believe in yourself and trust that there's a power higher than you, stronger than you, that is going to keep you going. We all have moments where we have cried out of despair. We all wished for a magic to tell us what to do when we are lost. We all wish that we have a place for happiness, passion, but we haven't reached there yet. That doesn't mean that it will never happen. It will. It will definitely happen. It's only that you have to keep believing in yourself and then be thankful. Gratitude is so, so important. It's so important. Don't let your lower self cause you to betray the gifts embedded in you. You have to, you should value the gifts that you have. Yeah. And by gifts, I mean there is something unique about you that is with you, within you. Find out and be connected with it, and then connect with the world with your gifts. You are here for a purpose, and you have to live your purpose. That's really important. The reason I come and share my story, tell my story to people, is that it's a perfect example of ups and downs of life. I was born in a very wealthy, a very learned family. I ended up in days when I was thinking what to feed my kids. And then today, my elder son is going to one of the best colleges in Connecticut. He's going to University of New Haven. My little one wants to become a cop. He is an amazing little kid. And my friend, he is always there to help me, to support me, to guide me through. I am so thankful for these people. And because I'm committed for Nin's dream, miracles happen. I came across Michelle. I spoke to her about my company, and then we have this show for you all. So within my capacity, I'm doing all that I can to let the world know that there are going to be hard times, but don't give up. You have to stand up, stay strong, and just forget that, you know, the things are not happening the way they should. You don't have to cry on that. If it's just keep trying, and things will improve. Your life will be the way you want to be, but you have to make the right choices. And I always say this to my friends, and because I have a relationship, I have shared the most painful, the most difficult part of my life with all of you. Now we have a connection. Now we are related. We are friends. We have a bonding. So I would also want you all to know that, you know, I keep telling this to my friends, that believe in yourself. I know in the future, when the time for me will come to leave this world, I can tell my sons that this is my story. Your mother was not perfect, but she had conviction. She fought with every ounce of her strength for what she thought was right. It's at least it's all we can ever do. And on that note, I leave all of you with best wishes for this holiday season and urge you all to be thankful for everything that you have in life. And above all, believe in yourself and value the people that you have in your life, the few trusted souls who believe in you more than you believe in yourself. And everything will be fine. You will be a rock star. You will have something greater that you want to achieve. This will happen. It's my promise to all of you. This will happen. It's just that you have to take the right steps and be true to yourself. Integrity. Set intentions. Stay present. Be you. Be brave. Don't judge. Don't make assumptions. Just keep it pure. Keep it lean. Find that rhythm within you. Seek inspiration from others and keep going. I love you all. Thank you.
Well, that was a pretty powerful sharing story, my friend. I had a I had to put you on mute quite a few times. Well, I had the whole show on mute because and here I go again. It got pretty emotional for me, especially there at the end. So I'm not quite sure how to end it. I think maybe just people should listen to it twice. And I don't really think that we need an ending. I think you summed it up, and just be grateful for what you have it all the time.
Yes. And to make it easier for everyone, we have put up like a PDF. It is like a kind of a planner. A small thought behind it is, you know, just start listing the things that you're grateful for. Make it a habit of doing it. Like, you know, like you have a habit of getting on your Facebook account, updating it, and, you know, like commenting, and you have your Instagram, you put pictures, you have Pinterest and all that social media thing. And it's just part of your life, right? You have adopted it. When you were born, you didn't even know that it existed, right? But it's become so much part of us now. So we do it on daily basis. It is kind of a default setting that when you go, when you're on phone, you will check your checkbook. You're going to check your Facebook account. You're going to check your Twitter or Insta or whatever. You do it by default. So I would like you to have this weekly gratitude planner printed with you, or maybe on phone as a screenshot. Just keep it there and then follow that planner. Show gratitude. Make it a habit. And you will see that, you know, you will see the positivity that comes, the gratitude. So I always say that grit, grace, and gratitude garners glory. So that's the sum of my life. It's like the grit that I put in, the grace, the prayers that I did, the nights that I cried all on my own, begging God to help me, and then my friends praying for me, coming to rescue me. So that is all grace. And I'm so thankful. Like, I just don't know how to thank my friend. And I just don't know how to thank all of you. And I don't know how to thank this country to begin with. And it's because the country where I was born, I lived 40 years of my life. That country just want me, my kids. We were abandoned. And this place, they sheltered us. So I owe a big time, me and my kids owe a big time to this country, to all of you, to the people of this country. So show gratitude. It's so important. Show gratitude. It's so, so important. It makes you feel special and humble also. And you will get strength from being grateful. Trust me, this Thanksgiving is just not an event for turkey or a family dinner. It is a time when we all should sit together, maybe in our own zone. Just keep listing the things that we have to be grateful, not only about others, but about us also. Like, you should be grateful that you have a mind to think. You should be grateful that you are making the right choices in life. You should be grateful that you are a good person to someone. You should be grateful for being a mom, a dad, a friend, a partner, a support. These are all the things that you have to be grateful for. So on this Thanksgiving, I would again urge all of you to just say thanks to everything that you have in life, including yourself. And that's important.
Amen to that, my friend. Well, thank you for another powerful, amazing episode and for sharing and starting my day off with a good cry. So thank you. And I wish you and your family a very happy Thanksgiving. I wish all of our audience and our friends a very happy Thanksgiving also. And thank you. Thank you for being you, Nin. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Another great episode of Nin's Navigation, talking about being thankful. Her story was pretty powerful. Next week, we are doing a 5-day goal plan to round out the month of November, which we are finding our passion. For any of you that want to go back and listen to the previous episodes for the month or download some of the documents, go to the website, which is everythinghometalkshow.com. On the homepage there, look for Nin's Navigation. The banner, the ad display, the link is in there for all of the episodes, and the link is there also for the documents. So click and enjoy, follow along, and join us as we take this journey to change our lives and get ready for 2019 and beyond. As a reminder, all of our guests and experts and their information and their shows are listed on our website, which is everythinghometalkshow.com. You can also listen and subscribe to Everything Home on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, and Player FM. And again, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for listening. Make it a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Nin's Navigation with our expert contributor, Nin Rafat. Join us every Wednesday in November so Nin can help you navigate life's highway and give you the roadmap to find your passion.